in the face of impossible odds. People who love their country can change it. That's what Abraham Lincoln understood. He had his doubts. He had his defeats. He had his skeptics. He had his setbacks. But through his will and his words, he moved a nation. It's because of the millions who rallied to his cause that we're no longer divided, North and South, slave and free. That today we have the chance to face the challenges of this millennium together, as one people, as Americans.
Barack Obama announced his candidacy for President of the United States in this speech on the steps of the courthouse where Abraham Lincoln once warned against a house divided. A year later, he took the president's oath of office with his hand on Lincoln's Bible. Are the parallels between the two presidents from Illinois wishful thinking? Or are there some real similarities between the two men? For that matter, how much does our time in history really have in common with the age of Lincoln? Historian Orville Vernon Burton says, a lot.
I guess the first time I thought about the parallels, and this is before I realized that Obama was such a Lincoln fan, that he himself was reading Lincoln, I was often asked when I would give talks on the age of Lincoln, why people still are inspired by Lincoln's words. And I thought about it, and I realized, of course, he's writing them himself, and he means them. And I think the same thing is true about Obama. And that's the first thing, that it's rather rare for a politician these days to write his own words. And I also think that they mean so much because they come from the heart. Both men live the American dream. Both come from, particularly Lincoln, rather extreme poverty background, uneducated parents, and works his way up to be president through hard work. Obama is not as far down on the ladder, but if you took it to the 20th and 21st century, it would be, I think, parallel. America's promise works for them, and both want to expand that opportunity to other people in significant ways. So that was the first parallel that came. But then there were a lot of others. I mean, I think I could actually write a book. I mean, seriously, it sounds extreme. Even, you know, I argue that Lincoln was not only the greatest president, but he was the greatest theologian of the 19th century. And one of those is a parallel between our own period and then. The religious fanaticism was an extreme in politics then, as it has been in our own time. And I'm not just talking about jihadists flying planes into buildings, but also in our own domestic and foreign policy, the way that religion had become important. It had been that way in the North and the South as well. And everyone, whether they were in the North and abolitionists or whether they were in the South and slave owners, thought that they knew God's will. In fact, they thought they were doing God's will. And when you think you are doing God's will, you aren't about to compromise. Lincoln, instead, read the Bible like Jews read the Old Testament. And his view of theology and God was very much that of a corporate God working out his will with his people. Very different than most of the Protestant coming out of the Great Awakening understanding of theology of the time. And ironically, that's the African-American theological perspective. Even today, the tradition that we've had come down through Martin Luther King is one that people are most familiar with, and I think that's part of Obama's as well. And if you look at both what Obama and what Lincoln say about God, whereas others are so certain they know God's will, even when the war's over with, in the second great inaugural, and some of the greatest words ever written, Lincoln says, if it is God's will, it's always if, it's never this was God's will. And I remember very well Obama's great statement about, you know, we have an awesome God in the blue states as well. That's a similar approach, I think, theologically as well.
Looking at the modern economic problems, I guess there are parallels there as well.
Extraordinarily so. What was happening during the age of Lincoln was a move from a farming society to a manufacturing society. What we have now is moving from a manufacturing society to a knowledge-based society. People are being left behind. Some people are doing quite well, but most are being, and there's all this anxiety that's going on at the time. The parallel is even more striking. We're at war. There was a civil war. We're engaged in nation building and reconstruction. You can go on and on. If you just think about paying for a war, the cost of a war, the cost of the Civil War, the cost of the wars that we're involved in now, you can see all the parallels that are so striking.
So what do you see as the abilities that Lincoln brought to the issues at hand that allowed him to lead us so well through those difficult times?
Well, first was his, I think, compassion and his belief in liberty. What I have argued is, in fact, that Lincoln's greatest contribution was not what he said it was. He said it was the Emancipation Proclamation. He says that's going to be the greatest legacy of his life and of his administration in the 19th century. But I think what Lincoln really did was to put personal liberty into the Constitution. He took the Founding Fathers' ideas and visions and Andrew Jackson's and really placed the Declaration of Independence into the Constitution. And I think that's Lincoln's greatest legacy. It was his commitment to liberty. Lincoln understood that democracy is not static. In fact, it's hard for us to remember, but the world, the monarchs, were hoping this upstart republic dedicated to liberty would fail. And Lincoln understood, I think, just how fragile that democracy was and was committed to making it work. And I think it was through his leadership that it has survived and has gone on to, in fact, inspire not just us in the United States, but the rest of the world.
Well, that brings us back to modern America in some ways and to the parallels that we started this conversation with Barack Obama, because I'm guessing that you will say he's faced with some of the same issues and is misperceived in some of the same ways.
Absolutely. And this is the irony about Lincoln, who is the war president. Lincoln was a compromiser. Even in his law practice, he tried to have cases settled so they wouldn't go to court. He was always trying to work things out. And he actually believed that people could always get on. One of the things you love about Lincoln is that he didn't have this personal animosity toward others. He really thought that everybody could work together and you could work it out in a way that would be beneficial to all. And I see that same thing, in fact, with Obama.
So if Barack Obama is a scholar of Abraham Lincoln and cares about this, you can't draw, of course, exact parallels between then and now. What does he look for most in what we can know about Abraham Lincoln for guidance, looking ahead at the next 4 or 8 years?
I think thoughtfulness. I think that's very clear. I also think that both men have visions of an America they believe in that is the best last hope on earth. And I think both of them, I think Barack Obama feels this as strongly as Lincoln does, that gave them opportunities to make it in society. I do want to say, if you read Obama's autobiographies, there's somebody else that doesn't get mentioned as much that's one of the people that he studies as well, I think, and may be one of his great influences, and that's Frederick Douglass. Frederick Douglass, the black abolitionist, who starts out not very favorable of Lincoln and later calls him his friend and thinks he's one of the greatest of presidents and leaders.
That's in the last decade or two only really begun to be studied,
that's
hasn't
right.
it?
That's really
there
right.
was a suggestion that they couldn't have been friends.
That's right. And yet they became great admirers of each other. Some of the great stories almost bring tears to your eyes. You can see Lincoln's growth in race. And he grew all his life as he met people like Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, Martin Delaney. And as he grows on race, he's always ahead of the nation. And I think, like Barack Obama, he's a shrewd, shrewd politician. He's trying to bring the nation to where he is. When Horace Greeley writes the Prayer of 40 Million that Lincoln free the slaves, and Lincoln writes that I would free all the slaves, I'd free none of them, I'd free part of them to preserve the Union. People don't usually quote. He goes on in that letter say, my own personal view is that everybody should be free, but they don't quote that. But what people haven't looked at carefully enough is Lincoln had already written the Emancipation Proclamation. Why didn't he say that? Because he knew the country wasn't ready, but he's preparing the country, moving them to where he was. And I think that's what Obama's doing, too. I think you'll see that same. I think you'll need to read with very, very care his letters, his speeches, to see where he's trying to bring the country, just as Lincoln did. Both are men with visions and strong belief in the goodness of America or the potential for the goodness in America. And I think that he's going to try to do exactly the same thing that Lincoln did.
I hear a historian talking who wishes he could be here 100 years from now to look back at this and write another book.
I bet someone will.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Orville Vernon Burton is the author of The Age of Lincoln. He teaches history at Coastal Carolina University.